Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR. Now here are your hosts, Nathan Zagura and Matt Wilhelm.
Hello there, and welcome to week four of the NFL season. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea on this Thursday as the Browns get ready to take on the Washington Redskins in our nation's capital. And right now we're going to tell you what we've got coming up for you on the show today. A lot to get into. This is when we're going to let you know who's on this Redskins team, what they've been doing. We'll get to those matchup previews throughout the show today. The Browns offense against the Redskins defense, special teams, and then, of course, the Redskins offense against the Browns defense. So lots to get into there. We'll also hear from John Keim, ESPN NFL Nation Redskins reporter at 1:30. At 2 o'clock around there, we'll have Corey Lemonnier, who had the big sack fumble that set the Browns up for a field goal attempt to win the game last week against the Miami Dolphins. And we'll also hear from head coach Hugh Jackson. Plus, today is the Fantasy Football Thursday brought to you by FanDuel. So you can use the hashtag AskTFC and tweet me at Nathan Zagura at Browns underscore daily. Use the hashtag AskTFC and we'll get to your fantasy football questions in the second hour as well. Obviously, a lot of news coming out from Berea today, a lot about what Terrell Pryor said. And you know, look, I know that Terrell Pryor saying the Browns are going to win every game, and I love the mentality of it. Let's not focus on that. Let's just focus on the fact that this guy is a tremendous competitor first and foremost. Second of all, you know, a lot of people are talking around the league now that this is a guy the Browns should look to lock up. And one of our Ohio Business Machine hot topics is, are they using him too much? And I say no.
It's one game.
That's what he's supposed to be doing. Right. He's not going to have that type of production every single week. However, and the targets, he's not going to have to dominate the target share when Josh Gordon comes back, which is next week.
And Corey Coleman in a few weeks after that.
So I'm not worried about that. I do want to talk about, you know, the ground game overall. But let's start with Terrell Pryor. What do you think of his comments? How does that play in the locker room? And just, you know, one thing that's clear about this guy is that all he cares about, all he wants to do is win.
How does that play out in the locker room? That's a good question. And I guess if I heard that, you know, via like third person and either, you know, my agent tweeted me or I was on Bleacher Report or something of that sort and I saw it, I kind of roll my eyes. I really do. And I just kind of go, okay, you know, sure we are. It's like there's not many 0-3 teams that then go and run the table and go 13-0 in 13 consecutive opportunities. And I really feel that the same reason that you like Terrell Pryor, you want him on your side, which I'll get to here in a minute, is the passion and excitement that he has for playing wide receiver for the Cleveland Browns, for playing his role for Hugh Jackson, a head coach that he's very familiar with, and he's content and happy where he's at. Now,
yes.
But I mean, it's just a far-fetched statement that I think probably got caught up, you know, in emotion in saying. Does he want to win every football game? Yes. Is that realistic? No. History proves, you know, that it's not realistic. And then furthermore, when it comes to his touches, I don't believe you can get enough of Terrell Pryor. And the reason why, it's not only with his production, but it's his decision-making. And I think because that goes back to, you know, him being quarterback and having the football in his hands, you know, almost every offensive snap. And I think that if he's making good decisions with the football and Hugh Jackson is in accordance with those decisions, you can't get enough of Terrell Pryor. Now, when he's making bad reads in the zone read or he's throwing the football into a tight window or he gets a little, you know, lazy and lackadaisical in his route running and he's not as efficient as a quarterback, as a runner, and as a wide receiver, then you really have to taper back what he's doing and focus on him just being a wide receiver. But at this point right now, it is a wrinkle that I love. And I think it's a wrinkle that is causing the Washington Redskins right now to put in specific defenses and coverages for when he comes in the football game.
And what you like about it is he is adding an element that I think helps you in your short yardage game at that quarterback position. We saw him score there. You don't want him to take too many hits. He's not built quite like Cam Newton, although he is a very big guy. You don't want him to be running power all the time out of there, but I have no problem with the way he's being utilized. I think it helps. I think it's a good thing as well because Cody Kessler doesn't have to have the whole weight of the game on his shoulders. He can go out there, get into his rhythm, and then you can throw some wrinkles the defense has to prepare for, which I think is a good thing overall for this team. And, you know, in talking to Hugh Jackson about it, that the main reason they did it is because they just didn't want the whole game and the whole offense to be on Cody Kessler in week one. Now, week two, he's going to come up against this team. And it's a little bit banged up in the secondary, which we'll talk about there with the Washington Redskins. But I think all in all, you want to get as much out of him as you can. You want to maximize your playmakers. Now, one thing they could do that's going to limit the burden on both Cody Kessler and Terrell Pryor, and that's our next Ohio Business Machine hot topic of the day. By the way, Ohio Business Machine's preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, has all the X's and O's for your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit ohiobusinessmachines.com. That's to run the football. The Redskins have allowed two rushing touchdowns to running backs in every game this year. The Redskins are allowing 4.6 yards per carry to running backs. They're allowing the fourth most rushing yards per game to running backs. Feed the Crow, feed Duke Johnson, both averaging over 6 yards a carry. You want to simplify things this week. This is a week to try to line up and say, we want to run it down their throats. Let's keep Kirk Cousins and this high-powered offense off the field. Let's run the ball down their throats, and I think you have the opportunity to do that in this game.
I agree. And I think, as I said last week going into Miami, you want to shorten this football game and put together long drives that get down the field and end in points. Now, you'd prefer those to be touchdowns. And that's where, as you said, Terrell Pryor really comes into play. But then also, too, it's like, you know, if we got to rely on Parkey to, you know, to kick field goals, because that's the one thing, even just, you know, doing some research on the Washington Redskins going into this football week, you know, there was, some tribulations between players on the defense and the defense coordinator and also having to settle for field goals offensively. That gets very frustrating over time for an offense. When you do the work, you get down there, you've got the, you know, the playmakers that they believe they do in Jordan Reed and Deshaun, you know, Deshaun Jackson and so on and so forth. And you get down there and you got to settle for field goals. So it is frustrating. And I think that's got to be our game.
Yep.
It really does. Shorten this football game because Washington can't run the football.
In the words of the kid, squeeze the football.
Squeeze the football down. And I think even, too, squeeze the pocket on Kirk Cousins. And I think that's something that you're going to focus on, you know, both today and tomorrow as you dive into, you know, those pro football focus numbers. His efficiency from the pocket when under duress and his efficiency from the pocket, you know, when the pocket is, in fact, clean. Kirk Cousins is very good, regardless of whether you like him or not, or he deserves that, you know, to be a franchise quarterback or not. When he is unscathed in the pocket, because he has the weapons, he's very good. He's as good as, you know, he's a top 10 quarterback in the NFL. But when under duress, he becomes just like anybody else, and even in some cases worse than those others. So I think our ability to stop the run, put them in very predictable passing situations, and when there, I think we get to see the four-man front, the three-man front that Ray Horton has kind of been using through the first three football games and put pressure on Kirk Cousins.
And you need to. And Kirk Cousins, for him, there is no place like home. However, this year hasn't been as good at home, but let's take a look at the split stats for Kirk Cousins. This year at home so far, one touchdown, three interceptions, but he's averaging about 346 yards passing per game. Last year, back in 2015 at home, he threw 17 touchdowns to only two interceptions. So even add the 1-3, and since the beginning of 2015, that's 18 touchdowns at home and only five interceptions. He has been phenomenal there, averaging over 8 yards per attempt and about 300 yards a game. That's for the Browns. That's what you got to stop. I'm Matt Jones. I like the way he runs. He's a violent, physical runner. But if they're going to bleed me to death with Matt Jones, I'll take that all day long over Deshaun Jackson, Jordan Reed.
Getting behind
Crowder.
The defense, yes.
Absolutely.
They're going to test. See, what Deshaun Jackson and Jordan Reed and Crowder do, specifically to Jordan Reed and Deshaun Jackson, because they're speedsters. I think Jordan Reed is a rich man set the valve. He's a matchup guy. He's not going to be attached to to a tackle very often. He's split out.
He is like, He is the Bill Gates Seth DeValve.
That's what I mean. Well, that's my point. My point is he's almost more receiver than he is tight end in regards to what I'm saying.
Yes, absolutely.
So he is a mismatch against every linebacker we have, speed-wise, yep, including Christian Kirksey. I think physically is where, you know, you get the tight end comes into play. He is as physical as any safety that we have, Jordan Poyer, Ibrahim Campbell, Derek Kindred, right? And then when you look at DeSean Jackson, this is what Washington does very well is, you know, you run the hitch, and then you fall asleep, and a guy like DeSean Jackson that you sleep on still has the speed to get behind you, and he has a game-breaking play. And I think those are the things that we need to do when it comes to Jordan Reed and DeSean Jackson, because they can break open a game with their speed. So our game plan in regards to negating that speed the best we can and having a safety over top or leaning to the side of DeSean Jackson is a key for us.
I think it's a huge key. And again, Jordan Reed, akin to a guy who is now spending his life behind bars for very good reason, obviously, but kind of what Aaron Hernandez was,
yes,
back in the day, that move tight end, flexed out, very, very effective. And the Browns are going to have to do a good job containing him in this one. You talk about Kirk Cousins getting pressure on him. Looks like Nate Orchard won't go, so that means Tyrone Holmes and the guy who will be with us, our guest today, Corey Lemonnier, getting to the quarterback is going to be very, very important for those guys. What have you seen so far from them in their rushes that gives you some confidence?
I think they're very active and a multitude of moves. You know, because so many young players, they come in and they maybe have, the A and the B. They'll have the one. This is like, I'm a speed rusher. And then my B is my spin move, my dip and rip, whatever it might be. And what I'm seeing is just, they're just flat out relentless. And when they get off the edge, because they are in fact playing, you know, a limited snap count for the Cleveland Browns, they come in and give you their all. And that's all you can ask for. And I think as a coach, and when you watch the film, you know, you want to go back in and you want to say, I gave him 14 plays. Let's see what he can do with 25. You know, 25, I give him 30. And then he becomes a staple in your defense because he's earned the right to be there because of his production. And, you know, and to be very honest, the grading system that coaches use, the plus minus, how productive is he? Is he filling up the stat sheet? Is he doing what we're asking him to do? And is he coachable, you know, both throughout the game and throughout the week in preparation?
And one of the things that I thought was interesting, a tweet that I went out with and saw earlier, was from Josh Norris. I retweeted it, talking about Tyrone Holmes and basically saying what a great get-off he has, and that's what kind of has stood out to him in people's tape. Andy Benoit saying, Browns film Tyrone Holmes, an intriguing pass rusher, speed off the line, potential speed to power ability. He will get more snaps. Josh Norris saying that was a sixth-round pick of the Jags this year who didn't make the team because they had a logjam at that spot. But I like what we've seen from Tyrone Holmes. Corey Lemonnier was a guy that was supposed to, high hopes for him coming out of college with the 49ers, didn't pan out, but getting a new lease on life. And sometimes that's what guys need. They need that change of scenery. And thus far, it's worked out. Both guys, impactful plays leading directly to turnovers that helped the Browns be in a position to win that game. Holmes is pressure leading the pick six by Brian Bodie Calhoun. I'm told it's not Jesse the Body. It's Bodie Calhoun.
Bodie. Okay.
Yes. And then the strip fumble from Lemonnier in that one as well. All right, what we're going to do is take a break right now. When we come back, we'll open up the phone lines, 216-578-0850. We'll start to get into this matchup a little bit. We'll take a look at the Browns offense and the Redskins defense. So we'll look at the Redskins defense and get you ready for that side of this matchup in the game on Sunday.
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to CBD. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here on this Thursday. If your Social Security benefits have been denied, call 1-800-ELK-OHIO, Elk and Elk, proud sponsor of the Cleveland Browns. Go Browns. All right, Matt, let's take a look at it. We'll start off with the tail of the tape on defense for this Redskins team. So far this season, they have given up 92 points on the year. And you will start to get into their ranks in the NFL defensively. Yards per game, they are 29th, giving up 425 yards per game. 6.6 yards per play, that's 30th. 123 yards rushing per game, that's 24th. 4.6 yards per carry, also 24th. 302 passing yards per game, that's 26th. 8.7 yards per attempt, that's 30th in the NFL. The one area where they're doing, I guess, decently is nowhere defensively. They are third down percentage. They're giving up 55% conversions. That's 32nd in the NFL. That's dead last. They've allowed every single fourth down conversion against them. Their red zone percentage is 61.54%. That's 22nd in the league. In terms of goal to go, they've given up a touchdown 71% of the time. That's 18th in the league. Their points per game, 30.7. That's 29th. Point differential per game, minus 8. That's 28th. And yard differential per game, negative 18.3. That's 19th. In other words, this Redskins defense has not been very good so far this year.
No, it hasn't. And I think it's going to be without D'Angelo Hall, if I'm not mistaken. You know, a guy who's been a corner there early in his career, went elsewhere, I believe, to Atlanta, and then has come back to Washington, is now playing free safety for them. They'll be without him. And are they going to be without Breland as well?
Find out with Breland. Okay. It looks that way, that there could be no Breshad Breland, and they're definitely D'Angelo Hall. He will definitely not play. But, yeah, for the Browns, that's good news there, because these guys have struggled already, and they're losing a couple of their big-time players on the defensive side. Breshad Breland has been very good for them thus far.
Yeah, although
it's hard to say that when you look at those stats.
Right, I agree. But when you dig into this, it looks like this defense is a conglomerate of guys who played well other places and are kind of past their prime. I know Ziggy Hood obviously was in Detroit, correct, for a very long time.
Ziggy Hood?
Yes.
Ziggy Ansah was there for sure. I don't know. I'll check.
Ziggy
I'll
Hood's been other places. I know Cullen Jenkins played with me in Green Bay. He signed a free agent deal with the Philadelphia Eagles. You look at Mason Foster. I think Mason Foster started with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I know Ryan Kerrigan was a first-round pick of the Washington Redskins. Josh Norman, of course, comes via free agency from Carolina. And ultimately, I think they're just still trying to figure themselves out. What it really boils down to is, who are we and what do we do well? And I think for them, they give up a ton of points. And they give up yards on the ground, and I think that plays right into the hands of the Cleveland Browns, as we have struggled to score points through three football games. Not so much in the first quarter against the Baltimore Ravens, but get points on the board and stick with our game plan, and I think you force Kirk Cousins to have to drop back with his arm and beat you.
So Ziggy Hood has been with – he's drafted by the Steelers.
Steelers,
the first
that's right.
In 2009,
right.
Jags, Bears, and now he is with the Washington Redskins.
Right.
So this is a team, again, they've struggled against the run so far, and that's where teams have been able to get kind of that advantage on them so far. You look at their defense from a defensive standpoint across the front. At Ziggy Hood, they play a 3-4. You've got Ziggy Hood, Cullen Jenkins, who you talked about, and Chris Baker. No real difference makers amongst that three. No real difference makers. Then they've got Preston Smith, Will Compton, Mason Foster, Ryan Kerrigan. Kerrigan, probably their best pass rusher. But still at this point, Ryan Kerrigan, he's getting up there a little bit in years and is not necessarily that kind of big-time player that you once thought he was in terms of his ability to get to the quarterback.
No, absolutely. I mean, he was a first-round pick of the Redskins, I think, what, probably 8-9 years ago now?
Yeah.
And
he's been in the league for a while.
Yeah, it's just not good enough. And ultimately, they've got a lot of holes. They're putting guys out there. And I think in some cases, the Washington Redskins have become a place where you go to get paid late in your career, and you try to, you know, get a resurgence of your career, and ultimately it's just not good enough for these guys. It's really not. And I think as much as you might say the Cleveland Browns are limping into town, based on their statistics, they're you know, struggling along as well. And I think we need to showcase what we can do offensively, knowing that Josh Norman's going to eliminate one player off the football field, you know, and on every single snap. I don't believe you test Josh Norman. I think you test all the other weaknesses of this defense statistically to the advantage of the Cleveland Browns.
And you look at these guys so far this season, Trent Murphy has been probably the most productive player for them. He's got a trifecta of sacks. He's kind of listed as a backup, but two of the guys they list as backups on their depth chart, Trent Murphy, he rushes the passer in those situations. As I said, he's got the 3 sacks on the season. Kerrigan's got 2. Those are the guys off the outside. That's going to be the matchup with Joe Thomas, which you feel like he can win.
Yep.
Austin Pastore, these aren't speed guys like a Cameron Wake.
No, it's not.
Nor are they as powerful. So I think he can hold his own here, and that is going to be something to watch, obviously. In the secondary, they've got Josh Norman. We know about him. D'Angelo Hall is out. Will Blackman will back him up. In terms of guys getting snaps so far, Greg Toler's just back healthy. They've got also a defensive back, David Bruton, who's been victimized. He's one of their worst graded corners so far. Deshaun Phillips as well is a corner who's been getting beaten on. So that's where you've got to take advantage of this team. David Bruton's their strong safety. That's where you got to take advantage of this team on the back end. Stay away from Norman, so it's going to be incumbent upon Gary Barnage, Ricardo Lewis, although tight ends have not done well against this defense yet, but Ricardo Lewis and Andrew Hawkins specifically, if Norman shadows Pryor, I don't know that he will, but if he does, those guys are going to have to win for the Browns to be successful throwing the football.
Yeah, for sure. And the other thing that I think is maybe an advantage Cleveland Browns in this football game is the fact that for the predominantly the entire training camp, we've practiced against the 3-4 defense. And I think for this group, as you mentioned, a couple outside linebackers who they have, you know, really producing with the sacks, including Kerrigan, we need to take advantage of that 3-4 defense because we know that the weaknesses of that 3-4 defense. And I think what Joe Barry, their defensive coordinator, is going to want to do is to bring some of those exotic rushes, hoping to confuse us. But knowing that we've seen a 3-4 defense with Ray Horton, you know, in that Dick LeBeau style of 3-4 defense, we've seen a lot of these blitzes before, zone blitzes and so on and so forth, that they shouldn't really catch us by surprise.
No, the Browns should be very prepared for this defense, which has struggled. In case you're wondering, from just a Pro Football Focus standpoint, the guys that are playing well, Josh Norman's their top-graded defender, Chris Baker, the right defensive end, then Sua Cravens, who's kind of that hybrid safety linebacker. He'll come in the nickel situations. He's only played 66 snaps this year, but he's a playmaker. I like him. I think he is a very good player. He's graded well. Trent Murphy, we talked about. And then Will Compton, the linebacker for him, he's the other guy that's graded well. Where you've been able to take advantage of him, Ziggy Hood has been struggling, and run defense is the worst graded defensive tackle in the NFL thus far.
Wow.
Deshaun Phillips, we talked about him. Brashad Breeland might not play this week as well. David Bruton, the strong safety. However, it's interesting. They've actually been good in coverage, though, against tight ends. Tight ends from a fantasy standpoint, we want to talk about big play gear. No tight ends finish in the top 16 against the Redskins so far this year. That's why it's going to have to come from the wide receiver position, and Terrell Pryor, Andrew Hawkins, Ricardo Lewis, Hollywood Higgins are going to have to make plays for this team.
Yeah, and then even something that we talked about last week and we didn't really see it exploited because of Terrell Pryor's success, you know, running, passing, and receiving the football is some of the screens. If we can catch them in some very predictable downs and distances where they like to bring pressure, some of those exotic pressures I just talked about, you know, Duke out of the backfield, you know, getting the football into our playmakers' hands that become an extension of the run and allow us to go get, you know, 5 to 7 yards and keep us on a very unpredictable down and distance, 2nd and 3, you know, 2nd and 2, and even at 3rd and 1, you know, we can take our shot. We can run the football against a team like this.
Absolutely. And let's look at what running backs have done against this defense. In week 1, D'Angelo Williams, 26 carries, 143 yards, and 2 touchdowns. Week 2, it was Ezekiel Elliott, had 21 carries for 83 yards and a touchdown. Alfred Morris also went in the end zone with a touchdown. So they've given up 2 running back touchdowns in every game. Last week, Shane Vereen, 11 carries, 67 yards, and a touchdown before he got hurt. Then in came Orleans Darkwa, and he came in with 10 carries, 53 yards, and a touchdown of his own. You can run on this defense. It is going to be supremely important
so,
to run the football in this game.
Just because it is Fantasy Thursday, you got to figure, you got to want to start Crowell and Duke Johnson if you've got them.
I think both of those guys definitely have opportunities to start in this one, and I think that you're going to see some success there going forward. You want to look, this is the 4th best rushing offense in the NFL, 2nd in yards per carry. I say continue to feed them, grind them down, as you said, shorten this game. There's nobody in that defensive front where you're saying to yourself, man, these guys, this is a force. There's no J.J. Watt on this team.
No.
There is no Cameron Wake. There's no Ndamukong Suh in this game.
Right.
Even in week 1, there's no Fletcher Cox in this game. And even with the Baltimore Ravens, you know, you've got Suggs and Doomerville, and you've got
Mosley inside.
Weddle
on the back
front,
end.
Who am I trying to think of?
Brandon Williams. Jernigan.
None of those guys are there.
Right.
Yeah, Timmy Jernigan. Right. This is the weakest front by far that the Browns have faced all year.
Correct.
And they've been effective running. This is the game to pound the rock. That's what I want to see. Pound the rock against this team. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, John Keim, ESPN NFL Nation reporter, will be with us. He covers the Redskins, obviously, and he's going to let us know the latest on their injury situation and where he thinks this team is vulnerable to your Cleveland Browns.
You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily. Nathan Zagura, Matt Wilhelm here in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We go to the Ohio Business Machines hotline right now. OBM, preferred copier provider of the Cleveland Browns, knows that every day is game day in your office. Call 216-485-2000 or visit OhioBusinessMachines.com. ESPNNFLNation.com. We go to the hotline and welcome in our guest, John Kime, the ESPN NFL Nation Redskins reporter, to preview the Skins. John, welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, guys. You know, it may be more fun to talk about the Ohio State Buckeyes rather than
I don't mind
game.
That.
Nobody would be afraid of that here right now. Two teams, the Browns 0-3, the Redskins 1-2, getting set to do battle here in week number four. What's the biggest thing? Because you go through, let's start with the defensive side of the football for the Redskins. You go through the stats, and they are horrific for that team on the defensive side. What is going wrong with the Redskins defense?
Well, I would say a few things and everything. Against the Giants, they actually, missed tackles were a problem last week. So that was, I'd say, the number one culprit last week, whether it was off receptions, whether it was in the run game. The Redskins last week were doing, at times, a pretty good job of showing too deep coverage, bringing the safety up the last minute or the last second, so right before the snap, so they'd get an extra guy in the box. The Giants would still run the ball. The guy was in the position, he'd miss the tackle. I think in the secondary, that has been a problem at times, too. So, too, has been in some other games. The well-publicized matchup against Antonio Brown, not giving a corner enough help against the best receiver in the league. Josh Norman's been a help, but he plays a lot of zone. So, I think the safety play could be a lot better. Defensive up front, they don't have a dynamic pass rusher. They should be better. This should be a better defense, but I never figured it would be really anything more than like a top, maybe around 16 to 20 range. So they should be better, but they've had a few issues.
And John, what's your personal perspective on the fact that Josh Norman, paying what they paid Josh Norman to come there and be a shutdown corner, traveling with the number one receiver of the other team, or just letting him play within that scheme?
Well, they kind of did both last week, because even though he went with Odell Beckham on almost every snap, there were probably about 10 where he didn't. It doesn't mean that he's just covering Odell Beckham. When you'd watch like Carolina last year, their strategy with Josh Norman too was he would flip-flop sides, but he would still be in zone. So they did a lot of that. So even though he would travel with Beckham, it didn't necessarily tip off what they were going to run. So, and he's better in zone, and that doesn't mean he's not a good corner. He's a good corner, but he's better in zone, has some good anticipation skills. And when you know how it is when you're a corner, if you trust your safeties, which hasn't always been the case this year for the corners, then you can play a lot better. But he plays with his help well, keeps guys in front of him. He has to tackle better, too, though, after the catch.
Do you think he will follow Terrell Pryor around in this game? Because Pryor last week, 14 targets, dominated the target share. The next two closest guys on the Browns added up to 13 targets combined. So do you expect to see he be the focal point of what the Redskins try to do with Josh Norman in this game?
I would assume so, because they're down to their third corner now on the other side. So Greg Toler, a veteran starter in this league, will be in for Bashaud Breeland, who was hurt last week. And though Toler can play physical, he's not a big guy. So Norman is their biggest corner, and even he might be listed at 6 foot, but that's as high as you go with it. Long arm. So I think he would be the guy. Yes, I could see them doing that. But I think they would still have to give him help, because Pryor, having watched him in college, he's a phenomenal athlete. And if they think they can just stop him one-on-one with Norman, they'd be wrong. So I would expect them to use help against him as well. They don't want to have Norman. Norman doesn't play a lot of just one-on-one man. So, but lining up on the same side, yeah, I can see that.
When you talk about this defense, you talk a lot about the back end of it, but up front they've been getting gashed. Two running back scores in every game. They've given up the fourth most rushing yards to running backs on the season, 4.6 yards per carry. Is anybody stepping up on that three-man front, and where do you see the big weak spot?
Well, first of all, they don't have a big guy in the middle. So they had Terrence Knighton last year playing at four Bills. They don't have anybody this year who's really more than Chris Baker's about 325, 330. The other guys they're running at nose in their base are about 3.5, 3.05, 3.10. But they're not in their base all that much. They run the base 3.4. They're typically in one of the sub-packages, nickel, four-man front. That's where the Giants hurt them last week. They didn't play. I don't think they played a single down in their base last week. And it was their nickel run package that hurt them. And, again, that's where the missed tackles came. That's where they showed too deep and walk a guy and move a guy up late. And they were in position to play the run better. So their issue is always that they'll play the run pretty well for most of the game and then give up two or three runs that really hurt them. Against Dallas, they played the run well, but they had issues in the back end because they were so focused so hard on the run game that it caused problems in the secondary. So, you know, anybody stepping up, Chris Baker is a good player. Ziggy Hood, people remember him when he was at Pittsburgh. He's been fine. They don't have a dynamic guy up front. That's been a problem area for them. They have not adequately addressed that area in the last couple off season, and it shows.
And John, jumping over on the offensive side of the ball, you're talking about stopping the run defensively. There's been some inability to run the football on offense. Has that been because of the offensive front, or has some of the situations in the game dictated for Kirk Cousins to drop back and throw the football so much more?
It's a combination of things. It's the first game against Pittsburgh. I'd say the score dictated that they threw a lot more. They lost by 22. They're down 18 early in the third quarter. So that dictated you're going to throw more. They also, though, believe that they're, you know, and they rightly believe that their passing game is their strength. And I think they kind of went crazy in the first two games, feeling that good about it. And really, in the second game against Dallas, it should have resulted in a I don't know about a win, but they should have scored 37 points in that game. That's, the plays were there, and they weren't tough plays to make. The plays were there to be made through the air. So another thing with that, their line is better in pass protection than run blocking. Last week they were a lot more balanced, and I think it was a commitment to the run that opened up some play action shots that they took and completed. So I think they need to be more committed. They know that. You're never going to see a 50-50 run balance with them because their passing game is a strength. And Matt Jones is an okay back, and that's it. And he'll have some runs where he's pretty good and then some runs where he's a big guy who gets no yards after contact. So, you know, it's kind of mixed there, but they can run the ball a little bit better. I think it's the commitment that needs to stay so they can open up the play action where they excel.
When you look at the stats, as we talk with John Keim, ESPN NFL Nation reporter in the past game, we all know about Jordan Reed. We all know about DeSean Jackson, Pierre Garçon. Those are guys that everybody around the league is familiar with. But all of a sudden, what jumps out to me is that Jamison Crowder is tied for the team league in targets, catches, and leads the team with two receiving touchdowns. The young man has been a big-time performer, and for a Browns team that's, you know, a little bit beaten up in the secondary, he might be going against an undrafted rookie free agent as the nickel corner for the Browns. What's made Crowder so effective this year?
Well, I think all those guys you named before helped make him effective. I'm going to start there. First of all, I think he's a very good player, but it starts with the fact that when you watch Jordan Reed on film, you're going to see two or three guys oftentimes paying attention to him. So when that happens, somebody else is open. You know, same thing with DeSean Jackson. You put DeSean Jackson, they'll clear out a side and let Crowder work underneath. Where Reed was. And so they do a good job vacating areas and getting guys' eyes in the wrong spot because of the attention paid to Reed and DeSean Jackson. Then with Crowder, though, watch when he runs. When he runs, he was a very good point guard in basketball, and you can see some of those moves when he runs. He'll give you a little bit like if he's going to, you know, if you just picture him dribbling the ball at court and with a little hesitation move sometimes, with a little, stutter step and burst it to one side. That's the kind of stuff he did on the basketball court. It's the kind of stuff he does in the football field. He's better this year at creating separation for himself. But again, I think it starts with the attention that other guys get as well.
You talked about the passing game being the focal point of this offense with, you know, limited opportunities to run the football. All in all, give a grade to Kirk Cousins through three football games. And do you expect him to continue to get better each and every week after getting that win under their belt last week against the Giants?
A grade is 1 and 2, and they've been terrible in the red zone. So, I mean, I guess you'd have to say at best he's been average. He's hit some plays that are there. I thought he was better last week, a little bit more decisive last week. I think one issue with Kirk Cousins is it's not the contract that weighs on him because he's on the franchise tag. Everybody knows that he's playing for a big deal. But sometimes he feels like he has to deliver, and I think there's a pressure that comes with that, or burden of expectations, I'll call it, that sometimes weighs on him a little bit. I will say I would expect him to improve because he was better last year in some of these areas. The red zone, he was very good last year. He's been really bad this year. Opportunities are there. And I think that's the one thing for the coaches is that they keep seeing guys open. And so I think they feel good. It's frustrating because the guys are there and they're not being hit. But I think the good thing for them is that the guys are open. And so I think if you keep getting that, they feel like eventually he'll hit. But he has to. I mean, you know, if he doesn't, they're going to be in big trouble because the one strength of this team is the pass game. And if he does not do a better job in the red zone especially, then I think this team will be very up and down this year.
Talking with John Keim, ESPN NFL Nation reporter for the Redskins. Do they view, is this game being talked about or viewed as a must-win game for the Redskins? And if they were to drop this game to the Browns, that there would be some tension there for Kirk Cousins or perhaps Jay Gruden?
Oh, I mean, the must-win part is kind of, ever since they started off 0-2, so last week was a must-win as well because they couldn't go 0-3 and then 0-2 in the NFC East. This week's a must-win because you can't go 0-3 at home, which is what they would be if they lost this game. Plus, it's a team you should beat, and they know that. I wouldn't call it necessarily a trap game. They know that they're only 1-2. They were pretty adamant about after the Giants win that they're not there yet. So, yes, they have to win, or else things will get a little bit tense around here.
And, John, first-round draft pick, Josh Doctson. How has he looked throughout training camp, even though he's played a limited role thus far through three football games?
Well, we've barely seen him, to be honest, because he didn't practice in training camp. He has the Achilles issue. And in the first two games, he was back. Last week, he was inactive. I would expect him to be inactive again this week because the Achilles is bothering him. He hasn't practiced yet. So the coaches like what they've seen from him. He has 6'2", very good leaping ability. But in all honesty, we haven't really seen much because he hasn't shown us much because we just haven't seen him on the field a whole lot. I can tell you what they tell me, but we just haven't seen it. And they tried some fades with him in the second game. None of them worked. And so, you know, it's been a frustrating start for him and the Redskins in that regard.
One rookie, though, who's looked pretty good, Sua Cravens. Do you expect to see him playing a bigger role for this team as the season goes on?
Yeah, I do. The hard part is to figure out where, Matt. It's because he's a 220-pound inside linebacker who converted to that position after college. He's still learning the position. He's going to have to learn how to play it as a smaller guy as well. I know he was a safety. He was supposed to be a safety hybrid. The only time he's played safety here is on the scout team, so he really hasn't worked at that spot. It's going to have to be as a linebacker. Right now, he's a nickel-dime linebacker. I love the kid. He adds energy. You feel his presence on the field. And the interception he made to beat the Giants, I thought was very smart because part of what started is he got his hands on the running back. When you watch him in training camp, he wasn't doing that in the one-on-one drills. He was pounded in his head. Does a good job there. Eli Manning has to hitch. It allows him to get that work back in front of the back and make a diving pick. So you'll see him make some plays. He is very passionate and enthusiastic out there. I think you're going to have to find a way to get him on the field more because players like him on the field.
Yeah, he's certainly been fun to watch when you kind of catch some of the highlights and take a look at this team. All right, John, what do you see happening on Sunday when it's all said and done?
Boy, you know, having grown up in Cleveland and following this team, I think anything can happen in these teams play because you don't know. I mean, I've seen the Redskins lose this game, but I've also seen – you know, you see the Browns find a way to lose every week. And, you know, I think the Redskins come out winning this game. This is the best passing weapon that the Browns will have faced, and I think that will make the difference. I also think that the Browns will, you know, if the Browns control a little bit on them, they'll be able to run the ball on them very well. So I'm kind of looking at like a 28-20 Redskins win or something like that. I believe I'm missed each week now because this team is hard to figure out so far.
Yeah, well, for the Browns so far, they've given up multiple passing touchdowns in 11 of their last 12 games. And we know Kirk Cousins, even though he hasn't been good at home this year, last year, 17 touchdowns, only 2 interceptions at FedEx Field. So he could get back on track. And I think it's going to be a matter of the Browns. Can they squeeze the football, run it, keep the game short, keep Cousins off the field, and then hopefully try to eke one out? But I think if it's a drop back and throw fest, that certainly favors the Skins. As you said, that's the best part of their team. John, thanks so much for your time.
Hey, thanks, guys. And by the way, Matt, my brother dared me that I wouldn't give you an OH, so I'm giving you an OH right now.
IO, tell your brother, OHIO, baby.
There we go.
There you go, Zeke.
Thank you.
Appreciate that, John Keim, our guest there, ESPN NFL Nation reporter. When we come back, wrapping up our first hour, we will have Corey Lemonnier in studio sometime in the next 30 minutes. We will also go ahead and take a look at the special teams, where they compare there. If there's one area that's been a strength for the Washington Redskins, it has been special teams. It has not been the case at all for the Cleveland Browns thus far. So we're going to go ahead and see what happens there when those two units hook up on Sunday.
There ain't no secrets anymore. My name's
You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Well, welcome back to Cleveland Browns Daily, 216-578-0850. If you want to call up what you expect to see here in this game against the Washington Redskins, let us know, 216-578-0850. Again, 216-578-0850. Special teams, though, Matt Wilhelm, you want to ask for one area where, you know, that's been a concern, I think, for the Browns every single game. Week one, failed fake. Gave up some big returns to Darren Sproles. Week two, the blocked extra point return for the two-point conversion that really started to turn the tide. Week number three, we all know what happened just a week ago down there in Miami. You're taking on a team now with Dustin Hopkins, who is leading the NFL in field goals made. He has not missed a kick at all. He's 11 for 11.
I had to look up who Dustin Hopkins was. When I saw him on Pro Football Talk about being Player of the Week, I'm like, why do I not know his name?
11 for 11.
That's good. And that goes back to my point, and this actually was the article I was reading about, with Kirk Cousins' ability to get down into the red zone. You heard John Keim talk about struggling in the red zone. Settling for field goals. That's an opportunity for the Cleveland Browns that when we get down there, score touchdowns on multiple occasions, win the football game.
I said that was one of the things that they must do, is they have to convert.
And I think a little bit has to do touchdowns. With, you know, DeSean Jackson is a deep ball, big play threat that when he gets down there, he plays to his size. You know, at or around 6 foot, 175 pounds, you get pushed around and covered by, you can't really get behind him. That's all you do. You know, that's what you're best at. And you're limited. You're playing in a phone booth, and that plays into the strengths of our DBs and in eliminating their ability to get behind us.
And that's what the big surprise is with Jordan Reed, no touchdowns right on the season. That's where they usually like to go there. So
but two and three bodies having their, you know, guys having their eyes on them. That's, you know, it's why Crowder's having the year that he's had. And that's why, you know, they're struggling in the red zone. You take away their red zone target.
You do, and they have struggled there. But we talk special teams. They have been great kickoffs. They're number one league in touchbacks. So Hopkins obviously has a big leg, which means, I think, quite frankly, good for the Browns. They'll start at the 25 every time they get the ball. That's good. But here's what concerns me. Are you ready?
Ready.
Third in the NFL in average punt return yards, 17.5. They are second in the NFL in average starting field position, 32.5. And in terms of kickoff return yards, they are ninth best in the NFL, 24.0.
And is DeSean Jackson returning punts for them?
No, Jamison Crowder is their punt returner.
Okay, what, 5'8", 180-some pounds, short, shifty, that basketball player with the crossover that John Keim just talked about. Yeah, it's a game that we need to have that facet sewed up. And here's what I believe about our special teams. We don't need to make the splash play. We don't need the block. We don't need the return. We don't, you know, in some cases, I called my shot with my bold prediction of forcing a turnover on special teams last week. We don't need that. What we need is just solid play so that the spotlight is not shined on you negatively. Just, I hate to say it, but just do your job. You know, Britton Colquitt, let's have a 42-plus yard net. Let's make our field goals when they're makeable distances. Let's make our extra points. Let's tackle them, you know, for less than 10 yards on a punt return. If we do outkick our coverage, that's it. Let's not let them shift the table in their favor via the special teams so that we can check that one big box for us, and then it boils down to our ability to run the football on that defensive front, take our shots with Pryor, with Ricardo Lewis, with Hollywood Higgins, Barnage, even though tight ends haven't been all that successful, and then leave it on our defense to stop the run and pressure Kirk Cousins.
That's what they've got to do, and one guy who could do that. We thought this was going to be the big return of RG3 game, but it is the return of Steven Paya, who has played very, very well for the Browns, was cut by the Washington Redskins. The Browns signed him and brought him in. He's been playing as an end, a 3-4 end, and a 4-3 defensive tackle over the last two games. One quarterback hit 5 hurries on 24 pass rushes. He's been one of the best interior pass rushers in the league, and Washington has been good in pass protection, but they've got to find a way to get there, and Paya could be a guy with a little extra, how do you like to say, motivation.
Yeah. Yeah, it's exactly how you say it. I say motivation, you say motivation.
Motivation.
Yeah, he's a guy that has played very well, you know, on limited snaps for the Cleveland Browns. And the one thing that he jumped off the field last week against the Miami Dolphins, as you said on Monday, living in the offensive backfield, just being very disruptive in the run game, and as you could tell by his stat sheet, getting to the passer and affecting the passer. And those things wear on you. And if you're getting that out of one player, all those things start to, you know, trickle down into other players who want to, of course, be a factor in the football game. And I say that is a solid signing for the Cleveland Browns, and somebody's paying dividends for them already through this season.
Probably one of the main reasons John Hughes was released, and John Hughes now signed with the Patriots, and we both like John Hughes, so wish him luck there. Yes, you're going to have to get pressure. I think this is a game, you know, we always talk about, God stop the run. I'm way more worried about the passing attack of Kirk Cousins and company than the run in this one. So I think it's going to be all about getting to the quarterback. Corey Lemonnier is going to be with us.
Yeah, but here's the thing. Then don't fall for the play-action pass. You know, how does Deshaun Jackson sometimes runs by you, but you put a little bit of doubt, a little stutter of those feet, and a guy like Deshaun Jackson runs by you, or Jordan Reed gets behind you, you know, on a bootleg or a waggle pass of some sort. So if you know that Washington cannot run the football, or you take away the football from him, or take away the running attack from them, there should be no doubt in our mind to keep your eyes on your work. Play your zone, play your man, and win that matchup. Win that one-on-one battle. It allows the defensive lineman to pin their ears back and not play the run on their way to the quarterback, because if the run is eliminated, it's go get the quarterback.
But at the same time, if you know, Matt Jones is not going to break away and put a big game. So wouldn't you kind of just say, look, don't go for any play action fakes. Make sure he's got the ball, then go get him, because he's not going to kill us.
That's my point.
Yeah.
And I even furthermore, it's especially the defensive backs with the speed and the possession receiver, that someone we haven't even talked about, you know, Pierre Garçon. You know, he's been a possession receiver a lot of his career. He can get behind a defense as well. So it's our defensive backs keeping their eyes on their work.
All right, when we come back, one of the guys getting to the quarterback who's going to make an impact, hopefully, for the Cleveland Browns, Corey Lemonnier, joins us in studio right after this.